Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Remember when, hover back, folks, when the state of New York, that wicked, ungodly state legislator in New York, passed legislation, and they celebrated. Remember, Cuomo was celebrating that they could kill babies right up until the time they were born, and then if they survived the attempted murder on the innocent children by these ruthless, bloody, evil, wicked, ungodly, unclean people, that they could sit and they could watch the babies die, just set them without giving them any care, because they are ungodly and wicked. Remember, we prayed that God would, you know, the Bible tells you, Joe, in three places, in Genesis 9, 5 through 7, Leviticus 20, 1 through 5, and Deuteronomy 30, 19, it tells you that those wicked people, they deserve death. In fact, those women that go into the abortion mills to bring their baby in, that God says they deserve death. They deserve to die right at that abortion mill with the child and those bloody abortionists. But, you know, he also says in Deuteronomy that the people that know about these things and do nothing about it, they too deserve to die.
They too, yeah.
And they're not going
to
heaven, Joe.
The ones
and
doing
so,
it.
And so here, now, you know, we know how wicked that state legislator, I mean, I wish I could have got any of those wicked people. In fact, I wish there would have been a way I could have got in there, locked the doors where they couldn't get out. And I would have preached those people God's word, the Bible, those wicked people and that state legislator in Florida to the hair caught on fire. But you know what? There's another whole country that's that way too, and that's Australia. And the number is 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. You see, folks out there, we really do believe, we really do believe the Word of God, not just symbolism. You know, we don't play church. You know, you have so many of the big, beautiful mega churches playing church, and everyone dresses nice and all of that, but they're not real. There's symbolism over substance. It's nothing that's real. We really do believe the Word of God. That's the doers of the Word Baptist Church. They really do believe the Word of God, okay? And for real, like most don't today. And that's why the vast majority of the people in this world are not going to heaven. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. The vast majority, when they die, they're going to hell. And, go ahead and play that clip.
Abortion at all. Abortion is legal up until birth for any reason. This is just about how do we treat compassionately the child who is born alive, who survives the abortion.
This is not an uncommon occurrence. Just recently, a mother decided to abort her baby at 19 weeks. The same misoprostol regime was started, and this little baby was born alive again, moving, gasping for air, and having a palpable heart rate.
On Tuesday, the Australian Senate voted down a motion calling for babies born alive after botched abortions to be cared for instead of discarded and left to die alone, often in a cold surgical tray, sometimes even taking hours. Joining me now is Dr. Joanna Howe, who's been campaigning hard on this issue for a very long time. Thank you, Joanna, for joining us. What am I missing? Because I've read through it. It doesn't seem very controversial.
It's not. 99, yeah, sorry, it's not, Abby. 99% of Australians would support the proposition that if a baby survives an abortion, they should be treated as a person under the law and entitled to medical care. And yet in the Senate yesterday, 32 senators voted against that proposition. So it's actually unfathomable, but for the fact that we know parliaments do not represent the Australian people on this issue, and we've known that for a while. So Ipsos does a poll every year. Only 31% of Australians support abortion up to 20 weeks. In every state and territory, abortion is legal up until birth. So we know that our parliaments are much more extreme on this issue than the people, but the issue is the people just don't know what's going on. And even the debate yesterday, the mainstream media didn't report it. You won't find it in any major newspaper or television network. And yet I think it was the most important motion that we've had in a very long time, because it was about dealing with vulnerable Australian babies who are left to die after their abortion.
Now, we witnessed recently heart-wrenching testimony by a midwife in Queensland to the Senate. I imagine that's where this came about.
You've had babies born alive after terminations from 15 to 22 weeks, born alive, gasping for air, moving and having a palpable heart rate, fighting for their lives as we are humans designed to do. These babies were alive from anywhere from 2 to 20 minutes to 3 to 5 hours. Parents of these babies who are born alive after abortion do not want to see or hold them. This means the only person left who could possibly hold them is a midwife or a nurse. If this were a pregnancy loss of a wanted baby, the mother and father would usually comfort that baby while the baby was alive until they pass. In a termination of pregnancy where the baby is unwanted, babies are sometimes born into witch's hats or kidney dishes and taken out of the room immediately at the parents' wishes. If alive after abortion, the bereaved midwife or a regular midwife providing care for the woman holds the baby until the baby stops gasping, moving, or no longer has a palpable heart rate. Sometimes babies born alive after an abortion are put into witches' hats and are covered, taken out of the room, and die while in that witch's hat.
No matter where you kind of sit on the abortion debate, this issue, I'd think, when you hear that testimony from somebody that has witnessed it, lived it, knows about it in real life, and you kind of hear what actually goes on in the real world, surely you'd say, all right, even if I support abortions, I can also at the same time support caring for babies that are born in botched abortion, in a botched process, and leaving them out to die is just inhumane, no matter where.
Yeah, it's torture. So Lou Adsett is a midwife. She's been a midwife for 14 years, has an exemplary performance record, never had any issues. And she had felt that it had just gone too far. So ever since Queensland legislated abortion up to birth in 2018, every year after that, the number of babies born alive and left to die after an abortion in Queensland has been in excess of 40. So it's almost one a week in Queensland alone. Lou Adsett has said there's increasing levels of social terminations, which we can see from the data, that babies up until birth are being aborted. They're perfectly healthy. And when we call this a social termination, we mean it's not for a medical reason. There's nothing wrong with that child, and the mother doesn't have a physical health issue. And so these babies that are born alive and left to die, there's actually nothing wrong with a lot of them. And you could give them life-saving treatment and they could potentially live. But those that aren't going to live, this motion yesterday that the Senate voted against was actually just about palliative care, that we would treat them with the dignity that they deserve.
To give you a first example, a mother made a decision to abort her baby at 21 plus weeks gestation. The process began in the morning with misoprostol given throughout the day. The process took all day and the baby was only delivered during the early hours of a night shift, where skeleton staff was on duty. This baby moved vigorously, gasped for breath, and had a palpable heart rate. To make it clear, this baby was alive. It was over 400 grams, so the baby was a good weight. The parents of this baby did not desire to see or hold this baby. Midwives and doctors were left holding this little life while they continued to provide cares for other women who are birthing and welcoming their babies into the world. This baby boy fought for his life for 5 hours before taking his final breath. This is not an uncommon occurrence. Just recently, a mother decided to abort her baby at 19 weeks. The same misoprostol regime was started, and this little baby was born alive again, moving, gasping for air, and having a palpable heart rate. And once again, over 400 grams. This was a busy shift, and the midwife who took over care from the bereavement midwife when this baby was delivered, I was distressed and shocked that the baby was alive at 19 weeks and could not hold it. The baby was taken to the pan room And as the mother declined to hold that baby, even knowing it was alive, the midwife who was providing care for this baby and mother who was terminated was also providing care for another lady who had decided to terminate her baby at a later gestation and had a fetus odd. As this was a busy shift and we were short-staffed, it was suggested that this little baby put into the dirty pan room.
And you see here, folks, let me tell you something. God's word does not return void. God is not mocked. He is not mocked. America's national sin is like, and here, Australia, well, okay. You know, we're in charge, not God. Well, you know what?
You might think we are.
You people are in for an extremely rude awakening. Because of biblical literacy, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You better understand something. God is immutable. He doesn't change, and you're going to get it. He's long-suffering, but for what you've done, remember what Jesus said. You'd be better off to have a millstone which weighed 4,000 pounds and thrown into the sea than to do what you people have done here in America to 160 million unborn children. What do you think, Joe?
To me, just hearing that was horrifying. Even in the military, you had a wounded soldier. The orders weren't to sit there and watch him die. You had to call for a medic, get treatment, do whatever you could. If we did things like that to puppies and kittens, this country would be in an uproar, screaming. The liberals would be yelling and screaming about cruelty. You know, how could you do that to a cute little puppy? I'm thinking, isn't that child worth so much more than a puppy or a kitten? But how turned around, we've got everything backwards, right?
Yep, absolutely. It's just unreal.
It's so hard to hear something like that. It just makes me sick.
All right, folks, 888-281-1. This is why, Joe, we're here. We have to, you know, warn the people. We're the watchman on the wall. And folks out there listening, our job is to warn them. Yours, too. You need to tell people, don't listen. Forget this stuff where these prissy preachers tell you, well, you know, it is legal, and therefore, you know, maybe you should know. Look, take a stand. By gosh, be real.
Be strong.
Get real. Right. Be strong. Stand your ground.
It's a long time ago, and the ruling is not going to change.
No, but we have to stand fast against this. On the day when we stand before the Lord and he says, what were you doing when they were killing the babies? The only acceptable answer is all that I could to stop it, right? Right, Joe?
Right.
We fought.
That's the only answer.
We fought this for 50 years.
Could do.
For 50 years, we fought the killing of the children. Listen, God has brought the very worst punishment on our people for killing their children, the very worst. He reduced them to cannibalism, folks. And let me tell you, I can tell you this for a fact. God's wrath is going to be visited on this nation. America has failed to repent. God bless this nation above all nations. And these, your neighbors, the Democrats out there, they are working day and night to bring God's wrath down upon this. And let me tell you, if you don't stand up, and I mean, if you don't really come out against this, well, you'll wish you had. Go ahead and bring it back.
And covered and be left on its own to take its final breaths alone. As the baby kept on breathing for longer than anticipated, thankfully another midwife was able to hold the baby while doing work until the baby took its final breaths. This baby was alive for almost 3 hours.
You know, this is absolutely shocking, but it's very hard to get the media's attention because they have a narrative that is pro-abortion, and this doesn't work with the narrative, you know. And
But what I'm confused about that is I can't see it. No matter where you sit on the abortion debate, this feels beyond that. This feels like, okay.
Of course, yeah.
The baby's being born. Yeah. It's a botched abortion. You've got a living human in front of you who either can be saved or at least given medications to die comfortably. How is that part of the abortion debate? That is just, I guess that's just about a decent human being.
Well, the narrative of the abortion industry is that this is just a clump of cells, that abortion doesn't kill a baby. And so
a clump of cells is gasping for air.
Yeah, it becomes really clear that this is a baby the minute you see a live birth after an abortion. If you're a little baby girl wriggling, gasping for air, crying, whimpering, and it's really clear that this is the really horrific reality of abortion up to birth. And yesterday, our politicians voted in an extremely heartless, cruel and barbaric way because these babies are being tortured worse than Guantanamo Bay. They are left to die gasping for air without anyone to comfort them or ease their pain or distress. They're being treated worse than we would treat animals in this country. I don't understand how anybody could have voted against the motion yesterday. It just really shows you how effective the abortion industry is. There must be money going to these political parties, to the Greens and to Labor, who voted unanimously.
Who are the monsters? I'm just going to call them monsters. Who are the monsters that voted against this?
Okay. So 16 senators from Labor voted against it. Penny Wong would be one that people know the name of, but there were 15 others that joined her. They were majority women, actually. The Greens, Larissa Waters, Sarah Hanson-Young. I don't know if you can pull up the photo of what she was doing when Senator Babette was talking about the plight and suffering of these newborns. As he was talking about this, she literally walks past him, Sarah Hanson-Young, and sticks her tongue out of the mouth and makes a vomiting motion. That is a monstrous thing to do. But actually everybody who voted against this motion is monstrous for what they did. You know, there were four Liberal senators. So Jane Hume, Andrew Bragg, Simon Birmingham and Maria Kovacic. They are a sickness in the Liberal Party. They should not be in the Liberal Party. I also question whether Labor even has a conscience vote on abortion anymore, given that they unanimously voted for it. And the senators from Labor who would have a problem with this and who would have wanted to vote for the motion, they just didn't turn up. These are politicians who I don't think would have voted against this motion, but they just got the memo to not turn up. And you just wonder what is the bullying and harassment behind the scenes in Labor to prevent people from exercising their conscience to vote for a motion that was about equal protection for Australian newborns?
From what you're explaining here, it seems like anybody that self-identifies as compassionate from the far left to the left of Labor, which is left, and then the left of the Liberal Party, all those that would deem themselves as compassionate are the ones that have voted against this. Again, I want to make it clear, this was not a motion about abortion in itself. This was a motion about a botched abortion, how to care for, even if they want to call it a fetus, a living being trying to gasp for air.
Yeah. The abortion has happened, Abby. Nothing to do with a woman's access to abortion. This would have not affected women's access to abortion at all. Abortion is legal up until birth for any reason. This is just about how do we treat compassionately the child who is born alive, who survives the abortion. And we know from the data that this is one a week. So between 2010 and 2020, there were 724 babies born alive after an abortion in just Queensland and Victoria. So that's just two states. They produce annual health report data. The other states don't. So we know that it's actually probably more than one a week because this happens in other states and territories as well. And, you know, so this is not an insignificant issue. Larissa Waters from the Greens got up yesterday and she said, oh, this is just so rare as to be inconsequential. But it's not. It's not rare at all. Even if it was one baby a year who was tortured in this way, it would be too much.
What would you say to the average Aussie that, I guess, is apathetic about this situation or thinks maybe you're just an extremist that is, you know, just, you know, chasing after the compassionate side of politics?
Yeah, look, I just think this is an issue we all have to care about. I'm a mum and I think about my kids and I think about holding them straight after birth, and the fact that even at a day old, I cut my daughter's fingernail, and they're really hard to cut baby fingernails because they're like really small. And she just screamed a little heart out. And that was at, you know, 1 day old. And I just think about these little babies who are born alive after an abortion. This is a reality. We can't say it doesn't happen. So it does happen. It happens in our country. And if we care about human rights, then we have to care about this issue. It's not an extreme position to take. You might not agree with me on the abortion issue, and that's fine. I respect that. But on this issue of babies born alive after an abortion, the only correct response is to say that we treat them as people.
All righty, we're back. And, you know, Joe, for over 30 years, you know, this radio program, we were the only pro-life, daily pro-life vote voice in Ohio. I mean, we were it. We were the ones. That's why they tried to get us off the air. They hated us. I mean, the fake news media. We got attacked by the plain dealer. I mean, we were being attacked. But you know what? We always gave them better than we got. Okay, we ran to that fight. But for 30 years, we were the only daily pro-life voice for the unborn here in Ohio, and so. Bill in Hartfield pledges 100, and Joanne in New Jersey pledges 100. Thank you, thank you. The number is 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And so...
tell something. I met a young lady named Gianna Jensen and got to spend a lot of time with her. She was helping us raise funds for our crisis pregnancy center and maternity home.
Yeah, we had her on several times.
Times on the radio, but I got personally spent a lot of time, met her fiance. Here's a lady that was born, survived an abortion, that somebody held her, cared for her. She recovered. She has a few physical handicaps, but not many. And she sang like an angel. And like I said, she was engaged to be married and happy, leading a wonderful life as a Christian woman. And it's when you meet somebody like that, an abortion survivor that was so glad that she lived, so glad she survived, happy with the life that God gave her. And then there's Melissa Oden from Missouri, same kind of story. You never hear the left ever talk about abortion survivors. And I can't remember the nurse that talked about when she found a baby that was aborted and they went to put it on a shelf and she was holding it, caring for it till it died. She got fired, and I can't remember her name, but she started a
group. She was from Michigan, the hospital in Michigan. We had her on the radio program.
We had her on the air, and I can't think of her name right now.
I know. I wanted to say Kathy, but I can't remember for sure. But anyhow,
we're getting old.
She was the one that said how. In fact, she was the one behind the legislation that pushed the legislation in Michigan because there was a guy named Barack Hussein Obama. At that time, he was the most wicked in the Senate, U.S. Senate.
He was the only person to vote against the Infant Born Alive Protection Act, the only one.
But now you've got...
wicked as you get.
Now you've got not only Kamala, not only that wicked Kamala, but Tampon Tim. Tampon Tim, also from Minnesota, pushed that legislation through. That
something in the water up there, huh?
It's evil. I mean, it's pure evil is what it is.
You know, which leads me, there's one other story of some evil. People don't see it, so they don't think about it, but the story comes out of the London Daily Mail. Again, more truth there than America's Press. Pfizer and Eli Lilly are accused of testing drugs on prisoners in Chinese concentration camps.
Where they harvest organs.
Yeah. Major U.S. pharmaceuticals have been running clinical trials at hospitals, plural, affiliated with the Chinese Army and they are highly suspected of testing drugs on prisoners in China's illegal concentration camps. And these countries have been conducting these trials for years, working with all these hospitals are all affiliated with the People's Liberation Army. And, you know, it's just sickening. These biomedical entities been unintentionally profiting from data derived from these trials, which the CCP has forced patients, victims, they call them patients, the victim patients to participate. And it goes on and on. But all of these were Chinese military hospitals. And it goes on, but you get the drift. Just another case of the left does not give a, you know, tinkers, you know what.
They don't
about
care.
Life. This is torture. And whether these people are Muslims or not doesn't matter. This is kind of like Germany and the concentration camps, what they did to the Jews. It should not be tolerated by the world. Our politicians should be screaming mad, but this is a story that hasn't even broken in the U.S. press.
Okay. Felicia in New York pledges 100. Doug in New York pledges 15. Thank you.
Thank you, one and all, yes.
888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Again, that's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got 35 minutes left tonight to call in, and there's only one more night after that, unless that's less than 2 hours for tomorrow night for us to, when we're fighting like everything to try to stay on the air.
But we're being true. The title of the message, James, a preacher and pastor who told the people, told them what they needed to hear. We tell some very unpleasant stories. That clip about the babies was hard for me to hear. And I'm sure it wasn't easy for a lot of our listeners, the story about what they're doing with these poor prisoners in China. We tell the truth. The truth isn't always fun, like the Democratic convention. It's all smiles and happy and joy and hope and all kinds of stuff. No reality, no substance, a bunch of lies, dog and pony show. But yes, sometimes this job is very hard, telling you what you need to hear, and we're grateful that you listen. And we do realize it's hard on both ends, right, Pastor?
Absolutely, it is. And again, you see, but again, like we said earlier, God has raised us up for such a time as this. He has raised us up for such a time as this. And this is a time where we run to the battle. We run to the battle. We place up crowns and glory. Now, that's only if you really believe. I mean, for real. I'm not talking about those folks out there to play church and, you know, we look nice. I mean, you know, it just breaks my heart, Joe, to see people who don't realize it, but, you know, God can see through it. He's looking for those that are doers of the word, not just hearers only. And remember, he's looking for those that whose faith is shown by their works, that they get up. Now, I'm not talking about whose works are wood, hay, and stubble. I'm talking about gold, silver, and precious stones where they go through the fire. You know, and the Lord is saying, what are you doing for me today? What are you doing for me today? And, you know, Joe, 366 times he says in the Bible, 366 times he said, fear not or be not afraid. And, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. Wanda in Texas.
Well, you do what you're told. Don't be afraid. And if you're really a believer, then you're not afraid.
Wanda in Texas pledges 300. Thank you, Wanda. Alrighty. Wanda's been pledging for a long time out there, and we really appreciate all you folks out there.
Yeah, we've got some fantastic people out there listening to us.
Yep. And they send us a lot of letters, Joe, and when they do,
encouragement and thanks, yes. And too often we forget to mention all that.
Prayer requests, but we don't forget to pray for them. All that we take every single prayer request, and we hold it up to the Lord. You know why we do that, Joe? Because we really do believe. I mean, for real, not just symbolism over substance. There's so much of that today. And these people out there, like that one clip you sent about these people that are professing Christians but not believers. You know, it's just an amazing thing how biblically illiterate people can be. It's just amazing. They don't.
Well, they're illiterate about history. They're illiterate about the founding of this nation, the kind of government they keep talking about, our democracy, democracy. I get so sick of reminding people we do not have, never have had a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. A republic is a government, but it's rule of law, of laws that do not change. And it was based on God's law. And the teaching in the New Testament, the Ten Commandments, the teaching in the New Testament, that's what makes us special. We have a democratic form of government within the republic. And it's just like nobody wants to remember that, but that's the key to the success of the United States so far, was holding on to that concept of what we are, who we are, and what form of government we live in. And you said lack of knowledge. It goes back to, boy, that's probably the best example next to ignorance of Scripture I can come up with.
All righty. We'll be back after this with more.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver, a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line.
Over the hilltop in that bright land where
Alrighty, we've got a match. I'm looking forward, folks. See, I know that I'll have a match, and because I've got God's word on that, because I'm a doer of the word, not just a hearer only, and because we don't have any doubts at all that God is who he says he is, right?
You're also smart. When you sing with an angel. It makes you sound so much better.
There you go. Yeah, it did. Anyhow, anti-Trump pollster Frank Luntz stuns CNN with shocking admission about former president. That's right. In a shocking admission that rattled, they really rattled the far-left establishment, anti-Trump pollster Frank Luntz dropped a bombshell on CNN, admitting that former President Donald Trump is gaining unprecedented support among union workers, an achievement no Republican has managed in decades. The revelation comes from the United Autos Workers Union has filed federal labor charges against Trump, and tech billionaire Elon Musk alleging illegal threats against striking workers. But the UAW filed federal labor charges against Trump and Musk, accusing them of attempting to intimidate and threaten workers who engage in protected strikes. The problem is with those corrupt union leaders, their problem with those corrupt union leaders is their people. Their members said, no, we're going to vote for Trump. You know, See, because they actually want to work. They really want to work, right?
Yeah, they want jobs. They're watching the jobs. We have night after night gone over a list of all the businesses that have closing down, moving out, the big John Deere tractor going to Mexico, and now we're seeing business closures all over this country shutting down. I had a list. It was a very long list, and now you know where all those jobs they said created were missing, because all these businesses shutting down was job losses. They haven't talked about that at all.
Not at all.
And the latest is Subway closing, 38 new stores just to start of their closing down.
Boy, there's been a tremendous amount of, even one fellow is closing 500 furniture store. There's a large chain.
Yeah, we did that story. Yeah.
In fact, they just closed in San Francisco. What was it? The one of the popular restaurants they just closed, and I'm trying to think of what it was. I think it was Denny's, the last Denny's.
Yeah, Denny's are closing. Denny's, Bob's a Big Boy. It's just been one after another after another.
So,
Go on my computer and find, but I've got something I need to bring up real quick.
I got to give the number quick, though. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We got to keep the phones ringing. Go ahead, Joe.
Here is the truth. I don't know if some of you understand Fabian socialism or not, but they have what they call the Overton window. And this was a window very symbolic about how the socialists were going to use this method to control the world. Anyway, there's a former speechwriter, John Favreau, kind of a French name, I'm not sure. And a while back, he called Harris a mainstream Democrat. Well, wait a minute. He's saying she's mainstream. Okay, here's why. He goes, well, she supports all these liberal causes, Medicare for all, Bernie Sanders. And he went down this list of all these Green New Deal, the most liberal records in the Senate. So now he's saying, well, now you can, she used to be a liberal. Now she's kind of a mainstream moderate. And I want to read a quote. If that's where the Overton window has moved, you know, then congratulations to all the progressive activists, because you have effing moved the S word out of that Overton window. That supporting the new Green Deal, basic Medicare for all, is now moderate and centrist. Fantastic. And he's now calling her a mainstream Democrat. She's progressive, but she's now mainstream. this is how far the left has gone just in the past few years, where before, you know, he was laughing over the idea that somebody was trying to say she was a moderate. No, she's a radical. And now he's saying, yep, now she's mainstream. The party has jumped that far left where they're now following anything you'd want on the Democratic Socialist Party of America's website. You go to the Communist Party USA, look at their plank. It's the same plank Kamala Harris is promoting.
All righty, Ted in Michigan pledges 1,000. Thank you, Ted.
And we've needed a few of those. We really do. But
let's bring Pastor Hal up. Pastor Hal, you're in the air.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing okay. We're
glad to hear you, my brother.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, you know, there's probably all you Larsons really have to be related in one way or the other. So
I don't know. We go a long way back somewhere.
You both have the same first name, Pastor, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you got a point there.
All right. Okay.
We are brothers in Christ, that's for sure.
All right, very good. Maybe there's a family secret. Maybe they don't want everybody to know that they're related. It could be. All right. So I got to give
my side of the family's better looking.
All right. Let me go to, did you know this? Robert Kennedy Jr. slams hypocritical communist Democrats. The DNC in Chicago is claiming to defend voting rights while spending millions to keep me off the ballot. He's talking about the hypocrisy. Yeah. Remember, to us, hypocrisy is offensive. To us, it's repulsive. To them, they have to embrace it. That's a part of the Democratic Communist Party is anti-Christ. Whatever God's word, the Bible teaches, they are going to be in opposition to that. Like it says in Isaiah 5, they put good for evil, evil for good, right for wrong. And so they embrace hypocrisy. President's candidate Robert F. Kennedy has accused his own party of blatant hypocrisy regarding voting rights. He asserts that while the Democrat National Committee, DNC, the Democrat National Communist, publicly champions the cause of voter access, they are simultaneously engaged in efforts to suppress the opponent's candidacy, including him. Well, of course, what did Karl Marx say? Always do the opposite of what you say. Say one thing, do the opposite, go the other.
Do the opposite, right.
And so Kennedy, who was facing a significant resistance from party insiders, claims that the DNC and various state-level organizations are employing underhanded tactics to undermine his campaign. Now, think about this. What if they were to put him in charge of the CIA? Who do you think it was that assassinated, who was behind the assassinations of John and Robert, huh?
Yeah, be interesting. What they're talking about is having him something dealing with the like the COVID policies and handling that kind of thing.
Well, no, there's actually talk about putting him in charge of the CIA, having an investigation, getting to the bottom of that.
Right, but the other group wants him like controlling the CDC and things where they can't go and do all the weird forced vaccinations and all this garbage. And his running mate, I can't remember her name tonight, but she's pretty sure he's going to come out tomorrow and support Trump and throw in with Trump. He's just so sick. He sees the communism. His family never would have supported communism. They might have been liberal, but not communist.
Well, here's what he goes on to say. Trump has had 6 court battles to fight during the election, while we have had 9, counting across the country. By bringing these lawsuits against our political opponents, the Democrats bankrupt the underpinnings of democracy. In other words, they've gone like third world countries, just totally corrupt. I mean, just totally corrupt. I mean, there's no part of it that's that has not been corrupted anymore. It's just thoroughly anti-Christ. There is no such thing as a Democratic Party. It's communist to the bone. So, Tim in California pledges $50. Thank you, Tim. 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. We're waiting. Phone lines are open. We've got approximately about 16 minutes left today where you can call in. 16 minutes left, folks. And then we have less than 2 hours for tomorrow night to raise the money that we have to raise to stay on the air here. We want to be on the air. We want to at least be on the air until after the election, folks. And so, and we have a whole lot of things to cover yet, believe me. Start writing that way. Obama Biden claims that he beat inflation. Can you believe that, folks? He's telling listen.
If you're going to tell a lie, tell a big one, tell it long enough, loud enough, and the idiot people will believe it.
All of that money you're spending on groceries, what is it?
Rent, I think insurance.
I think the average family of four is spending, what, over $20,000 more than before?
There was $15,000 more than there were before.
All right. Here, Biden claims he wants, he demands the reporters say his policies are working.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like most of them have been telling that lie, right?
Yeah, they have.
He wants them to tell even bigger lies, okay? And so...
So there's a limit how stupid they'll be, probably. But there is one story out there that it's not getting any attention. Tensions are heating up out in the South China Sea as Chinese and Philippine ships are colliding in disputed waters. Chinese vessels actually collided with Philippine Coast Guard ships near the disputed atoll there in the Spratly Islands. We've talked about that many, many times. The Chinese were accusing the Philippines of crashing into their vessels, but the Philippine Coast Guard has actual footage, which I watched part of the Chinese ships, actually bigger ships, ramming their Coast Guard vessels and doing some severe damage to their ships. So they actually have footage of the collision shows the Chinese intentionally ramming their Coast Guard vessels. So while we have this convention and Biden in somewhere on vacation, things around the world, there's a lot of news that's not being reported, and the enemies are taking advantage, and they are pushing what? See if they can start a war, start a battle.
Absolutely.
It's scary out there, folks.
Well, again, we're actually the Chinese... You know, actually, in the Chinese, their economy is falling apart. They're hurting. And they actually want Trump back in office. They know that Trump can help with not only our economy, but theirs. And so, all righty. Sue in Illinois. Praise the Lord. Sue in Illinois pledges $1,000. All right. Very good. Thank you, Sue. Okay. How much time does Pastor Hal have? Pastor Hal, you've got 6 minutes. Can you get her done?
I sure can. You know, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And righteousness is what brings God's blessings to America. And the Democratic Party, which is trying to destroy this country, knows that. And that's exactly why they're trying to fill and saturate this country with their wicked abominations. And the people of America got to wake up and realize that no matter who they get in office, you can't have a country living in these abominations and have God's blessings. You've got to get right with God to have God's blessings. And that means getting rid of that the Antichrist Democrat Party. No Christian on earth should be a Democrat because it's like saying voting for the Antichrist. And that's a contradiction in your very existence to name the name of Christ and stand for everything evil that the Democrat Party stands for. Now, listen, things are going to get worse and worse if Jesus Christ don't come back again. But we're looking for his soon return, which we call the rapture of the church. where he comes and takes us out of here as born-again Christians, takes us home, and then this whole world will turn into one big cesspool of evil and wickedness, and you don't want to be around for that. And so if you want to escape all the corruption that's coming your way, the literal hell on earth, and even worse after that, then here's what the Bible says to do. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And make that clear, that you could be the member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. Church membership doesn't wash away one sin you've ever done, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all your sins, no matter how bad they've been. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." And that's through his blood. It's not through you getting water baptized. The city's water system isn't going to wash away one sin that you have. It's through the blood of Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, the Bible tells us that God was allowing him to transfer. Remember that word transfer. Every sin you've ever done, past, present, and future, onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," that means he's telling us that every sin you've ever done has been pardoned by God if you received the payment Jesus paid for you on that cross. But now you've got to receive it. John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." You could die and go to hell knowing the Bible from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation, but if you don't reach out and receive that payment, then, you know, you're going to die and go to hell. But Jesus is offering to pay that payment right now. Right now, he's knocking at the door of your heart. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," in other words, "hear my word, I will come into him." And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "It's a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith." That's saved from hell. "And not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." When I was a Lutheran, I was told that if my good works outbalance my bad works, I'll go to heaven. And that's what every Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, and people in these mainline denominations are being told. If you ask the average one in any of these denominations, they think their good works will get them to heaven. But, you know, if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again to the day you died, just the sins you've already done would keep you out of heaven. That's why it's so necessary to repent. Luke 13:3 says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repentance is simply admitting something to God he knows already anyway. That without Jesus Christ in your heart, you're like a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on your road to hell, and nothing can save you unless you reach out and receive Jesus as your Savior, being sorry about the fact that you're a sinner. When you come to Jesus, it's with godly sorrow in your heart over the fact your sins is what put him on that cross, making it necessary for him to die on that cross and shed his blood to offer you salvation. And so that's what saves you. Jesus did all the work, and he said it's finished. You can't add to it. Whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment he paid in your place. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your heart and your mind right now. If you want saved, if you want a home in heaven, if you want to get out of the cesspool that these ungodly people and political leaders are creating this out of this world, if you want to go to a place that's clean and beautiful and happy for all eternity, pain-free, and be with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a free gift he's offering you right now as he stands at the door of your heart and he's knocking. And if you want that, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call means to pray. You ask him to come into your heart.
1 minute, Hal.
Listen, folks, pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. "Dear God, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner, and that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And Lord, I right here and now, open the door of my heart, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and give to me the payment that you paid in my place on that cross in full so I can have eternal life. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen." Now, 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." That means that you receive them as your Savior, that you may know you have, that's present tense, you have it right now, eternal life. And nobody can ever take that away from you, because the moment you prayed that prayer just now and asked Jesus to come into your heart, he came into your heart and he brought with him the payment he paid in your place on that cross. And your worst enemy can't take that away from you.
You got to trust in the Lord on that. You got to take it. Take God at his word. His word is truth. We're out of time for tonight. We'll be here, folks, for 7 more minutes till midnight to take your call. Until then, We want to say good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless you.
God bless.
And always, always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.